Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 68 of the Push My Buttons Games podcast. It's me.
I have to show up next week now.
One more for Panda Pet. Just one more.
Maybe this is what will get Mike out of the gelatinous cube. Episode 69 will get Mike out of the cube.
I see what you did there.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be fun. But hey, it's me. It's Luke. And I'm joined today by this real life panda.
Me. I made it. I did. It was me. Yep.
And the return of the Sam.
Yep. Punducer. Punducing.
It's been so long.
And of course, the captain himself.
Hey, everybody.
So this week we're going to, again, kind of hit some games we've been playing, our thoughts on them. I've got a couple of news stories about Sega and Sonic, of course, and some Ninja Turtle stuff, E3, and the best list of the best video games of 2023 so far. We're going to go through that and kind of talk about our, I guess, our thoughts and our opinions on that one.
Our but first,
yes, all of them. But first, because I know Sam's going to have a lot to say because it's been a while since he's talked about games he's been playing. So we're going to go Pat, Captain Platinum, myself, and then Sam. So go ahead, Pat. What have you been playing?
Oh.
Hold on. Let me guess.
Don't even talk shit. It makes me happy, okay?
Go ahead.
I've been playing Stardew Valley. And guess what?
You got more bok choy?
No. I'm finally starting to romance Sebastian. Yes.
God damn it. Every single time she's going to say Sebastian, the first thing out of Jamie's mouth is the crab.
Not the crab. Never the crab.
So that's you. Next time you just get back, I romance Sebastian, not the crab.
So I was told by the town shop owner that if I am interested in someone, my relationship level got high enough that I pinged the relationship thing. And it says if my relationship with someone is high enough, I can give them flowers and will show them that I mean business. That's not what business. It said, but that's how I'm taking it. So I went and gave him flowers, and then he showed me his fucking motorcycle and said that he would take me on a ride sometime. And stupid Abigail showed up, and he's not even interested in her
Abigail.
Anymore.
Ugh.
He's not even interested in her anymore, and I'm freaking loving it. Abigail's the girl that he dances with at the flower festival every year. And
not
I'm
the flower
it.
Festival.
Yeah.
I thought she went by Abby and not Abigail.
Probably. I don't fucking care. She's dumb with her pretty purple hair.
Not jealous at all, though.
No, I mean, I was extremely jealous. It's been two fucking years. I will be on year three in one day. It's been almost 3 years. Okay.
Okay.
Anyways, so yeah, I've been playing that. And now I'm like just doing whatever the fuck I want because I have $1 million. Not a million. I have $100,000, but that's basically
a
million.
If you had $1 million, would you buy yourself a house?
I have a house.
I see what he did there.
In Stardew Valley.
Is that a thing? I feel like I'm missing it.
Listen, if I had $1 million, I would buy the world's largest chimichanga. I would need it. I would just have it. But guys, you want to see the world's largest chimichanga?
Does it have Deadpool with it?
Sure. It'll have Deadpool action figures just like throughout the giant chimichanga.
And a picture of B. Arthur pinned to it.
Yep. 100%. That's actually the name of the world's largest chimichanga is the B. Arthur.
The SSB Arthur.
Put a sail on top of it
with the Deadpool logo. Uh-huh.
That's next time I have to name a ship in Star Trek Online, it's gonna be the B. Arthur.
B. Arthur.
Be awesome. All right, Captain, what you been playing?
I have not had a ton of time recently, so basically I played some Lego Batman 3 after we recorded last Friday. I haven't played anything really since. So
nice.
Yeah.
I jumped in and started the DLC stuff, the Ishii Island stuff, and Ghost of Tsushima, which has been fun.
Ghost of Tsushima?
Yes. Susumi.
Susumi.
What's that?
So you're playing as Lord Sakai?
Yes. Yes, yes. It's been fun. It's new stuff for me. So yeah, some of the armor sets are really cool. Like the legendary armor set that you get there is really cool. It has a really cool ability that when you perfect parry or you perfect dodge, you just basically turn into a whirlwind and you slash like three times, and they can't really block it. They have a really cool enemy mechanic where basically you learn four different styles of sword fighting in the game versus spear, like the bosses, the shield, and just swords. But they'll have a big character that switches, like he's got a shield on his back, he's got two swords at his hip, and he's got a spear. And so he switches between the three weapons, and you have to change your fighting style accordingly to be able to get the advantage on him. And I really like that. It makes the battle a little bit more dynamic, because in it you kind of take a little bit more time with the bosses. Like I was saying before we recorded, I also went through the PlayStation Plus extra game catalog, and I downloaded the Dynasty Warriors 8, which, listen, sometimes you just need mindless mowing through, you know, hundreds of thousands of soldiers that you can just mow through.
I get it. I've said that before too. That's why I played those other types of games.
Right, like Hyrule Warriors and Samurai Warriors. Yeah, they're perfect.
The Dragon Quest one I was playing.
Dragon Quest. They did it. They did a Gundam one for PS3, which was really fun.
Yeah, that one was really cool.
But it's, you know, Dynasty Warriors 8, they have like a quest story mode where you're like you're fighting for different warriors. It's very JRPG, very fucking convoluted. All these Chinese characters screaming Japanese, but you can't make them speak English, which is funny. But as listeners of the show know, I love creative characters, and Dynasty Warriors 8 lets you create characters. So you can create a character, you can create like soldiers, you can create like lieutenants, you can create your war horse, your banner, all that stuff. So me and my horse Daryl, we've been killing it. Me and horse Daryl
from The Walking Dead. Has he got a cool like biker jacket?
I assume, well, he's got a dope saddle, so that is dope jacket for horse, I guess. But yeah, I've been playing that. I started Soul Calibur 6 again for the create a character, and they also have like a story mode that you can play through with your created character. So I always like make myself, and I make a bunch of my friends, and it's just always a fun thing that I like to do. But the last game I've been playing is I've been playing Sifu.
That's a great game, I hear.
Yeah, it's a roguelike game. It's got a really cool mechanic where, like, if you die in a roguelike game, you basically, you know, you start the level over, you keep all your stuff, and then you gotta, or you start the game over, I think, depending on the game. And then you start over with all your stuff, but now you know the strategy of how to beat it and stuff like that. There's no like health pickups or anything like that in Sifu. Like the only way you can regain more health is by performing these special knockouts. But the martial arts in this game is fucking top notch. Like their hand movements. Basically, the way you beat this game is get good at defense. You know, like it
and
would be
Chuck
if someone
Norris roundhouse.
Yes. Like if everyone, like in a real fight, if you're getting punched at and you're not dodging or blocking the punches, you're going to lose the fight real fast. So like this game is very in on, you know, dodging left, dodging right, up, you know, sweeping, stepping back, parrying. Like that is what you need to get good at to beat the game. But the fun mechanic that they have in it is your character. You can play as a guy or a girl. That's really, and then you get like costume customizations as you do certain things through the show or through the game. And you're doing a lot. Like you get this like magical pendant thing. It's like imagine those. Have you ever seen those tassels that have the Chinese coins, like the 12 Chinese coins tied together? And it's like a red ribbon with a tassel on the bottom. That's kind of your magic item that you have. And every time you die, it brings you to like a thing where you can level up your skills. But then you also revive yourself. You start at 20 years old. Every time you revive yourself, you're a year older. And you can go all the way up to 70. The other cool mechanic is the older you get, the less health you have, but the more damage you do. So there's a cool trade-off there. I got to the second level and I was like 33 already. And I was like, this isn't going to be good. So I just recently started it back over earlier before we started recording. And I got through the first level and I had only died one time. So I'm like 20 and I'm like, cool, let's go.
Is there difficulty settings or is it
yes,
just...
yes. And this is on beginner. Like I'm playing, there's beginner, normal, and then like master. And I'm playing it on easy and I'm still like, it's still difficult. But I'm learning again more, the more and more that you, work on defense and dodging and evading and like picking up pipes and hitting people like that. It's great. And I have been dabbling back with that, the game that I played, that I talked about last week, the Nine Monkeys of Shaolin, which, if anyone wants to get that game and play co-op with me, that would be cool. Just let me know. It's fun.
The only monkey game I'm going to end up playing is the Wukong when it comes out.
Oh, Wulong Dynasty? I think that came out.
Wukong. It's the Monkey King. Like, and it's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of like a mixture of the newer God of Wars and like, what the hell? It's a little bit more faster paced though, and it's got a little more freedom. There's a lot more attack customization and like combos and stuff.
I haven't seen that. I'll have to look
it's
into
been
it.
In production for like I think almost 3.5 years, and it's a I think it's a Chinese company that's doing
okay.
it. And it looked amazing.
That's awesome. Jamie, if you have the PlayStation Plus Extra, it is free.
Okay, yeah, I got that. Yeah, let me know.
Yeah, it's funny again because the main voice actor for this game is Jin Sakai from Ghost of Tsushima, and I was like, this is awesome.
Lord Sakai.
There is a part where I can't remember if I talked about it last week, but I'm gonna say it again. But there's a part where you're supposed to save an informant, but then the informant dies. And the guy comes, he's like, did the informant say anything to you important before he dies? He goes, yes. He said, it hurts. but yeah, so that's what I've been playing. All right, Sam, take it away.
Okay. I, of course, played the Hogwarts Legacy. I put 72 hours into that game. I'm still
holy
not
shit.
100. I'm not 100%. On it. I haven't done 100% of the shit. So I'm still not technically complete because I'm a completionist with games like that. But I did beat the main storyline at about hour 72 because I went around doing shit. Like my kid put in maybe 30 hours and beat the main storyline. And he's like, how the fuck did you put in 72 hours? I'm like, I'm a completionist, sir. I'm an explorer. I like to find Easter eggs, secrets, all sorts of shit. But if I was to give it a rating out of 10, I'd definitely have to give it about an 8.8. And the only reason why it's not like a 9.5, 9.6 is because we didn't get Quidditch. And they also said that they don't plan on putting any DLC out, which kind of makes me go, dude, this is one of those games that could have life for a very long time with very minimal effort, and we would pay for the DLCs. You wouldn't have to put much into it.
So what if they say it's not DLC, but an expansion?
An expansion would be cool. But, I mean, everybody puts DLCs and expansions in the same terminology. You know, but I would love an expansion on it, or a standalone Quidditch game using the engine and the universe, and you can, like, carry your character over to it, would be pretty awesome.
Hmm.
But yeah, I had a ton of fun on it. The other things that make it not like almost a 10 is, and I, at this point, I don't consider it a spoiler. You've had time play it. Damn it. Is that no matter what you do, you're the hero in the end. If you're an evil piece of shit, you're the hero in the end. If you're a good person, obviously the hero in the end. I was like, I would have loved the light and dark, a little more light and dark choice. Maybe a few endings, like a good, a neutral, and a bad ending.
Seriously? But you only get to be like the savior at the end every single time?
Yes.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. But overall, fantastic game. And I actually look forward to more from this studio. And I know now with the success of Hogwarts that we'll be getting more games, not necessarily just Potkey games, but, you know, some other games. So, yeah, I enjoyed the living hell out of it. 72 hours. It's been a long time since I've put that many hours into a...
I thought my 60 hours in Stardew Valley was a lot. Damn.
Yeah, I put that 72 hours in just under 4 weeks, too. I did not play a single other thing besides that, which is another thing that hasn't happened in a very long time.
Nice.
The other thing I've been playing besides my normal like Rocket League's season 28 of Diablo 3 is that the beta last weekend for Diablo 4 happened, and I didn't get to put as much time as I wanted into it. So I only got to try three characters, but I only fully leveled the Necromancer to 25. But how I started out was with the Druid class, and it is seemingly unbalanced to try to play solo with it. They started off being more of a support character, which kind of sucks because at the beginning of the game, I think of new players, like all of us who've played Diablo in the past know you want to join up with people because you get better loot, less chance of dying because you've got your guys that can do a major amount of damage and your supports and all that stuff in it. But as like solo play, they kind of took some classes. They took solo play out of the picture. If you want to level at any rate, Ooh. That's worth it.
Oh, also to jump in before I forget, you talked about Necromancer and it made me think of a video I saw that was Bob the Necromancer. And he's like, hello, this is Bob the Necromancer. Time for an unboxing. And then he shoves a shovel in the ground. And I feel like that would be the character I would play in Diablo, is Bob the Necromancer. Sorry, continue.
So, well, I played the Druid, and that's one of the most unbalanced, like, don't do shit for damage in the first 25 levels, because they only let you play 25 levels. Mm-hmm. I got it to, like, level, I think, 19, and I was just like, I almost wanted to quit the beta at that point. Hmm. Just because I was like, dude, this was the character I was like, hell yeah, a new character, a new job, new class, whatever. I wanted to play it so badly, and it just...
was bullshit.
It was what I shouldn't have started with first. I was going to start with the rogue, which is small weapons and arrows, basically, so daggers and arrows. And it's got a arrow rain ability that I really wanted to get to. But I didn't. After Druid, I was like, I need something very familiar. And rogue's kind of a mixed class compared to some of the other classes in the past. And so I went with Necromancer, which is basically a mixture between Diablo 2's Necromancer and Diablo 3's Necromancer. And I got it to level 25 in 5 hours. It was so simple. Right off the bat, you start off being able to summon undead minions. I believe you're able to summon four of them. And then eventually 5 plus up to 3 skeletal mages that are more like missile long range DPS pets. And they just make it so damn simple, because most of the time they take the, especially if you hit once and then let them take hatred, you can then just nuke the living shit out of the dungeon bosses without them really coming after you. So it made it pretty easy and pretty fun. It was a good contrast to I can't beat anything at level 19 without someone helping me, and that kind of sucks. And then after I got that to 25, I didn't want to gear it up the best I could like you normally would. I'm like, I want to go further than that. So instead of just going, I'm bored, I'm going to whatever, I'm like, I wanted to try the rogue. Let me try the rogue. And I got about 7 levels into that before I wasn't able to have any more time on the game before it closed down for the weekend. But overall, I'm excited for it. I definitely want to buy it. Especially Necro, and it looks like they're taking some of the community that's been around, like Rax Anorax and Riker and all these guys that are putting a bunch of input into it, because they know the feeling of balance in the game. Because usually middle of the life of these Diablo games, they've done a bunch of balancing and finally figure out where it's at, and these guys seem to be like really boosting that. So hopefully by launch Barbarian will be better, because it feels unbalanced, which is really weird because Barbarian's usually one of the easiest characters to get into and feel like a badass.
That would be what I would play.
I'm hardcore Barbarian in Diablo 3. Like I've put 600 and some odd hours on Barbarian at least. And then so Barbarian, and then they're definitely like saying, like, for people who are new to this genre, Druid is going to make them hate the living shit out of this game. And I'm like, yay, I'm not the only one with that opinion. But they're helping through the early access beta and the open beta. They're helping them get prepared for the launch on June 6th. And I'm hoping this last weekend really, like, they listened to all these guys who helped them build Diablo 3 into something that was worthwhile.
Right.
Which surprises the heck out of me. The teams for, usually Blizzard doesn't listen to anybody. They just put shit out and say, enjoy, you know. The teams for Diablo 3, after its initial launch failure, this team listened to the community and built something that the community liked. It still was completely different. Diablo 2 and all the hardcore Diablo 2 guys just hated the living shit out of Diablo 3. But a lot of us got into it and loved it. It obviously wasn't Diablo 2, but we love that they're taking the best of the three games and that's what they made with Diablo 4. And that's apparent, and it shows, and it's really awesome. And surprisingly enough, even on the lowest graphic setting, it's still more beautiful than Diablo 2 or Diablo 3. It's still beautiful. Like, I had to run it on lowest graphics because it's got some features on there that more newer graphics cards use that I can't use, because I've got a 9 series NVIDIA. And so I was like, oh man, I'm gonna have to play this on like low, medium, or low. This is gonna look like shit. Put it on low. Nada. I was like, still looks gorgeous. I'm in.
That's awesome.
You know, they did. There was one last thing about the beta. Almost seemed like a failure right off the bat to me, because they didn't tell everybody, hey, the first day when everybody who wants to play this game is going to be on, we're going to be stress testing the servers, and you're going to have 2-hour wait times just to log in. And it's also going to kick you the fuck out of the game a shit ton because it doesn't like your ping for some reason. So the first day was probably like, I was like, dude, I this is one of the worst beta launches ever. And then they come out and says, yes, we're stress testing the servers. It's like, this would have been good to know. Say, hey, first day, if you really want to play it, give it like 6 or 7 hours
right
after we launch it to get some shit under control. Let the guys who are willing to wait. But you're gonna hate us if you just log in right as, and I was one of the people that logged right the fuck in when it launched, because I didn't have any work that day, and I was like, yes. And I almost 2 hours waiting to get on, and as soon as I get on, I played 35 minutes and got kicked out, and I had to restart the game, and then I had to wait 70 minutes to get back on. And I was like, dude. But the wait eventually was worth it for me. But in that moment, I kind of wanted to go on and flame the living shit out of them on their support forums and be like, you guys suck ass. But I didn't. I restrained. And it ended up being worth it. But yeah, that's basically what I've been playing.
And Pat, as our other Diablo player, do you have any questions for him?
I'm really on the fence, because I really want to play it right now, but I kind of want to wait. So I guess my only questions are, I really loved 2. 2 remake is okay. I enjoyed 3. Is it the goods of 3 and the goods of original 2?
Yes, because like the Necromancer, a lot of the abilities they took from 3 and put it at the pace of 2.
Okay,
so it's not just like fast as hell, and you know, you can jolt around and do all this stuff. Like there, your cooldowns do mean a lot, like in Diablo 2, where you have to pay attention to your cooldowns. Whereas in Diablo 3, if you knew what you were doing, you could put a bunch of legendary items together and then rework your stats through the Mystic. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you have a cooldown reduction rate of about 80%. So your cooldowns, instead of being 30 seconds, are like 3 seconds, and the ability's not even over with by the time your cooldown's there. So you can just sit there and just keep spamming the living shit out of the buttons and just blow shit up.
Yeah.
They took that away. They took that fast pace away and put it at the pace of Diablo 2, and the looting at the pace of Diablo 2.
Okay. I liked Necromancer was my main in 3, but a lot of the time when I played it with people who did that. They really like amped up their shit, and I wasn't that far ahead because I didn't have all day to play. And so it just ended up being irritating, because I'm like, no, you're obviously doing shit that's like beyond me. Like, slow the fuck down. So yeah.
Well, I got curious because I was playing Diablo 3 from launch, and I bought stuff when they had the market and all that stuff, and they brought it back out and they started the season thing. And at the time, I really hated the season stuff that was going on. And so I didn't play it for the first like 3 or 4 seasons. And then I got into it and was like, oh, there's these set pieces. What is this set piece shit? And like, I tried to Forrest Gump my way through it, you know. It's a box of chocolates. Just throw a bunch of stuff together. You don't know what you're going to get. And I didn't want to do any like study shit.
Yeah.
But eventually by, I think it was like season 6 or 8, because I skipped season 7 and played Rocket League, because that's when it came out. I got lucky and had a dude said, yeah, there's this website you can go to. And at the time it was Icy Veins before Max Roll GG came out. And that's where all the YouTubers and the guys that help like build better Diablo 3. Cause for some reason they were able to get the attention of the team. But anyways, so that he pointed me to Icy Veins, and he's like, you like Barbarian. This is the set that's going to like help you farm, and this is the set that's going to help you push Greater Rifts. And I was like, how high does Greater, like, I didn't even know how high Greater Rifts went at that time. I really didn't even understand the system. And when he pointed me to that and I started playing with him, he started to teach me how to speed farm. So I had a lot of help from him, a lot of time to like learn that stuff. And now I'm still, you know, here in season 28, I've already helped like 20 people who you played the Diablo 4 early access, and then last weekend there's a bunch of people coming on there. This is my first time on the game. I just bought it. Will you power level? Like, can you power level me? Like, teach me some stuff. And so I've kind of been the teacher this season, and just like bringing a bunch of new people into Diablo 3. I'm like, if it breathes life into the season where I'm not going to just be playing solo all the time, because it kind of died out for like 5 or 6 seasons. I decided to be the guru, and it was just really weird because it's kind of like paying it forward. That one dude, his name was Brasher. He's still on my friends list, but he doesn't play Diablo anymore. But he taught me the mathematics of it, which you don't necessarily need to know the mathematics. You just need to know what stats boost, what other stats, and what ones coincide, and you know what you need for your build. It's once you learn it, like it, are you going to be doing more area damage with your high damage stuff? And you can read that off of the set piece. It's like, if you do, you know, a certain amount of area damage, if you boost your stats of a chance of dealing a higher percentage of area damage, you're going to then exponentially times your damage by a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are like, oh, if I just up my critical damage and my critical hits, it's like, yeah, that'll do a little bit. But compared to boosting your area damage, which is actually doing your damage, you know, there's just, it takes a little bit of time. I haven't played every single season. I probably only played like half the seasons. But I learned from some guys that were just like so hardcore. You got to have the right people, because there's just some people that don't have the patience to teach. But once you learn the fast pace of D3, it becomes fun to farm. Because all of a sudden, instead of getting like 5 to 6 primals a season, you're getting like 30.
Nice.
So, yeah. Anyways, we've been rambling about Diablo. Let's go on to the news.
Okay. So I've got some news here.
News?
Yay!
So E3 has been canceled.
What?
So...
And SJW's got to them too?
Yeah, it has been canceled. The organizers of the Entertainment Software Association announced on Thursday, following the reported withdrawal of major publishers like Ubisoft, Sega, and Tencent. Those companies joined console manufacturers Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony, who had previously confirmed that they were not take part in this year's E3. They said this was a difficult decision of all the effort we and our partners put towards making this event happen, but we had to do what's right for the industry and what's right for E3. We appreciate and understand that interested companies wouldn't have had playable demos ready, and that resourcing challenges made being at E3 this summer an obstacle they couldn't overcome. For those who did commit to E3 2023, we're sorry we can't put on the showcase you deserve and that you've come to expect from Reed Pop's events. Reed Pop is also the company that puts on Star Wars Celebration and the PAX East and West stuff. So yeah.
Well, damn.
I don't think we're going to get E3 ever again. I think that was...
Thanks, this was Sony, the chance. Xbox, Nintendo.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because it's like they finally opened it up to the public in what, 2018?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that 2018, 2019, and then COVID, and never again.
And then never again.
I don't know if it was like I don't know if the developers didn't want to have the plebs out there, you know, seeing their stuff, and they only did it for the journalists and all that kind of stuff, which kind of makes me mad, but it's like, come on, you know what we're here for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Does it make financial sense for these companies? Absolutely. To put together their own videos and just put it up on their own schedule. But it still bumps me out a little bit, you know?
Well, I mean,
my brother got to go.
I just wonder what it's going to be next. Is it just going to be PAX from now on? Because PAX is invitation only, isn't it?
I think you can get tickets to PAX. I think it's open, and I think it helps that there's what, 3 or 4 of them spread out throughout the year. I know there's East and West. I don't know if there's a South. But I don't know. Other news, double Sega news. So Sonic Origins Plus.
Sega.
Sonic Origins was Sonic 1, 2, 3, Sonic and Knuckles, and I believe Sonic CD. I could be wrong on that one. And it adds the Game Gear titles. They're adding a Sonic Origins Plus where you get to play as Knuckles and Amy through any of the levels and stuff like that. And I showed that to my daughter who loves Amy. So instead of having to play a mod on the Sega Steam, the Sega collection on Steam, she can play it on the Switch now. She was very, very excited. And it's classic Amy with the orange dress and the little green shirt. She's really excited to do that. In other Sonic news, Sonic releases a game on Steam today for free called The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog.
The murder.
Their video starts out with this this text. It said, "We heard your feedback." And said, "Yes, all of it." And they said, "We now have a bold new direction of the franchise." And it says, "Sonic the Hedgehog." It shows the logo and says, "We're excited to announce he's dead."
He's dead.
And then it looks like it's a kind of a visual, like a visual novel, virtual novel, but also a mystery where you're trying to figure out who killed Sonic.
Who killed Sonic?
And I have it downloaded. I have not played it yet.
Would this be called Blue's Clues?
Oh.
Yes, I'm slapping the desk. It's a knee slapper.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to play it. I'll probably have a report on it next week. It'll be fun. And this news story is for Mr. Jamie here. Did you ever read the Ninja Turtles Last Ronin?
I read comics? A couple of issues, I know, and that's it. I've been meaning to finish it.
So, apparently... it's becoming a video game and is inspired by big action RPGs like God of War. So we might get a Ninja Turtles God of War type game.
Oh, baby. Ooh.
I know. I knew you would be very, very excited about this. So it says it's currently in development, an adaptation of The Last Ronin, the 2020 graphic novel that told a grim futuristic story about the Ninja Turtles. Says, like the comic, The Last Ronin video game adaptation will be darker, more mature, and take on the typically colorful Ninja Turtles, according to Doug Rosen, Senior Vice President for Games and Emerging Media at Paramount Global. Rosen likened the upcoming third-person action role-playing game to Sony's recent God of War titles and said it will be authentic to the story of The Last Ronin arc, which is set in the future where only one of the turtles has survived.
I didn't know about that. That's dark.
I don't know which one it is.
Please say it's Mikey and he's no longer like happy and cheerful. That would be really dark and I would totally be into that story.
Do you want me to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah, yes, it's Mikey.
And let me guess, he's now like depresso, mad, revengeful, all sorts of shit.
I'm going to post a picture in the chat so you can see exactly what I see, and I believe you have just described it perfectly.
Dude, I mean, it's like instantly when you said that, I didn't know anything about this story, and immediately my brain's like, that would make such an amazing story because it's polarized to the original Ninja Turtles. Mikey's always the dumb luck, happy-go-lucky comedy relief. He would be the perfect person to put as the last remaining turtle because then you could just go into showing how he just falls to the polar opposite of what he used to be.
Wow.
Okay, that picture didn't work. So here is one of these two will work. Go ahead and take a look. Tell me if that's what you were picturing.
If I could pull it, where the fuck? Sorry, I had for some reason I can't get.
He only sent it like three times.
Well, listen,
there we go.
It only showed up once on my chat. Yeah. All right.
That's exactly what I imagined.
That's cool.
Jeez, like I pulled that out of the universe into my brain.
that should be fun. I'm excited for that. Old Man Logan, but Ninja Turtles.
His arm looks like Hulk dick skin. No.
Okay. So I found a list of the best video games of 2023 so far. I'm going to go through the list. I'll stop at each game and someone say if you have played it or not. So we can see how... I know Captain's played at least one of these. So the Resident Evil 4 remake is on here. Tachiya. Patch Quest, which seems right up Panda Pat's alleys. Yeah. This is the tagline is lions and tigers and hat wearing armadillos. Oh my!
Top hats only.
Paranoma Masite, the seven mysteries of Honjo. Phantom Brigade. Wulong Fallen Dynasty, which I wanted to play until I heard the Bloodborne Souls like, and I was like, oh. It's from the people who made Nioh 1 and 2. It looks really cool, but I can't do the Souls games, so unfortunately. Yeah. Company of Heroes 3. Octopath Traveler 2.
Wait, they're bringing back Company Heroes?
And it's already out, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. If you have Game Pass, I believe you can get it. Here's one, a Metroid Prime Remastered.
That's what I played.
There it is.
Metroid.
The Dead Space remake.
Mm. Yeah.
Season, A Letter of the Future. Fire Emblem Engage. Marvel's Midnight Suns. And that is where their list is. And Sam brought it up before recording. The lack of Hogwarts on there was kind of surprising to me as well.
It sounds like Charles wrote this list. this sounds like some indie developers. Mm.
Minus Dead Space and Resident Evil. And journalistic types like the gems when there's a move that giant diamond out of the way. I need to find a smaller ruby.
Don't want to deal with the fact that it has that Hogwarts has mixed PR,
right?
You know, maybe it's that they don't even want to put it on the list because they don't want a flame war to happen. And
right,
so
Jamie, you've played Metroid. Right.
Yep.
Do you think it belongs on a list of the best of 2023 so far?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been great. I mean, it's an old game, but it's great. I mean, if you're putting RE4 on there too, again, RE4 feels more like a remake, I guess. This feels just like a face paint, you know, on it. Because I know 4, I think they've changed some stuff, right? On RE4, didn't they change a few things in that game?
Yeah, and I heard someone's biggest complaint was Wesker's new voice.
Mm. Did they make it weird?
I don't know. I never played the original Resident Evil 4, so I'll have to hear a side-by-side.
Wait, you have money for a side-by-side?
Sure. What's that?
Nothing. A joke that just went...
It just went over Luke's head.
Yeah, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be the producer if I didn't make stupid fucking jokes, okay?
So I think it's really hard this early in the year, especially because there's not we haven't hit summer blockbuster games yet, and then we also so we're going to get some big summer games, and then we're going to get big fall games, right? Like October, November. That's usually another big release window right before Christmas.
Yeah, we don't even have Zelda yet. I mean, there's... Right. And then Jedi Survivor
right.
is coming. So, I mean, there's...
Yep.
There's quite a few still.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. That's for sure. But honestly, guys, that's all I had for the episode this week. Do you guys have anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
Game on. I don't know.
Game on. That's funny. No, I'm trying, oh, I think the eShop did shut down for the Wii U and the 3DS on Monday. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. That's right. I did check that out.
Boo.
I was gonna get
and I should have just done it. I was gonna get Detective Pikachu. And now I can never get Detective Pikachu.
Until they do the remake in, 20 years.
And then they port it into Switch. I think that's what, like, shutting these shops down just opens them up to, like, hey, if you pay us this much more a month, you can play these games.
You can buy it on another console.
Yep.
You can own it on 50 different consoles digitally. Like,
if you're on the Switch Plus plan, you have access to the 3DS and Wii Shop, where you can then purchase the games. So you pay us money for the right to purchase more of our properties.
Yeah. Oh,
that sounds very Nintendo.
Here's the part, though. They don't fucking support Pokemon games.
Yep. Yep.
Get into
they can still charge seven.
Oh, sorry.
My saved games didn't come over because they don't support it. Cloud only. No cloud services.
Yeah. One thing I did want to say before we go is the movie Tetris dropped on Apple TV today about it's the story of it's actually a really interesting story of how we got Tetris out from behind the Iron Curtain in the Soviet Union. I know I've with all of the books I've read and all the history of video game stuff I've covered, I know this story pretty well, so I'm going to watch it before we record next, and so I can kind of give a side-by-side of first, like, what the movie showed versus what really happened. So if anyone else on the show has Apple TV and would like to watch it and have fun talking about it later, we can do that. But if not, it'll just be me.
Tetris, episode 69.
Yep. Yep.
But there is one thing I do want to add for anybody listening. If you have put off watching The Last of Us on HBO Max, just do it for 1 month and watch the damn series, because it is not. Yeah, it's done. And it's not 100% accurate to the game. There's a lot of liberties that were taken. But if you wait for the episode to end and then watch the special features, and you kind of understand more why. And it made me enjoy the show even better. And there are some things that they did put in from the game where I was pointing at the TV, looking at my wife, going, that's exactly like the game. Like, every pixel. I'm like, it's pixel. Almost like they took it from the game and put it in the fucking show. Yeah. And I'm just like, dude, this is awesome and amazing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, the one car ride shit. Thing, I think the dialogue in the car ride is like identical the one time they were like, I was like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it makes me excited for it. Makes me less worried about the God of War show that they're talking about doing. So
yeah,
but
I just I was like, yes, please go watch that show, because just super, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and super quick, your April PlayStation Plus free games are going to be Sackboy, A Big Adventure, which I think was PS5 launch title. Then Meet Your Maker and Tales of Iron. So those are the free games that come on April 3rd. So if you want them for free, if you have PS Plus, are Battlefield 2042, Minecraft Dungeons, and Code Vein. Which out of those, Code Vein is the only one I grabbed so far, and that's a first for me. I don't know if I'll ever play Battlefield 2042, and I don't think Minecraft Dungeons is really up my alley.
Right. But okay, guys, thanks for listening. Make sure to come back next week and check out episode 69, where we may or may not
receive Mike. Roles.
hey, Captain, before we get out of here,
everyone, this is your captain speaking. Make sure you game harder.
Bye, guys.
Bye.